Facebook.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, back here on Soccer Matters, Matt Peterson filling in for Glenn. And we go back to Glenn for segment two as we discuss all things soccer. Glenn, we'll get into the Dynamo, Wilmer Cabrera, a lot of other things. But I just want to wrap up the Champions League top. And Pep Guardiola basically signed for that game to beat Barcelona in the Champions League. It was an emphatic win. And then you look across the city, and it's Manchester United with Jose Mourinho, and you know Man United went for the splash, they went for the name, but it hasn't worked out. And one thing that stands out to me, Glenn, is just the difference in signing. We mentioned, you know, the German international Ilkay Gundogan, who scored twice today, and previously was Mario Götze with Bayern Munich, and sort of these under the radar signings. Whereas Man U lately, it seems like it's a big name that might be. Maybe an easy selection such as Pogba, Ibrahimovic, before that Memphis Depay, and just the difference between the two clubs.
Yeah, I think it is fascinating to have these two high-profile managers right next to each other and literally a couple miles apart. I mean, look, Manchester United got what was an uplifting win over their so-called noisy neighbors in cup play. I wouldn't say it was a great game, but it was a result. And then they turn around and they draw 0-0 with Burnley. I never thought Jose was the right fit for Manchester United. United, to me, and this is just my simple perspective, it has always been a team about substance as well as results, which is the toughest thing to produce when it comes to managing soccer teams. Some people settle for one over the other. I've always been the proponent of I would want both. I think soccer's entertainment. I think it's release. I think the way the game is played reflects on a city, and teams can become very prideful, and their fan base can become prideful in the way the game is played as well, not just the ultimate result, which obviously is very, very important, because you do have to win to satisfy all these other things, and everybody wants to be a winner. But I think how you do it is always important. So I never thought Jose was the right fit. Jose is about buying players. He doesn't stick around in places very long. I knew the Wayne Rooney thing would come to a head very, very quickly because he's gotten on in age. And I was very interested to see how he was going to deal with that. And, it's a club that's always been winger-based and has had all these remarkably beautifully put-together teams that could attack in such variety and in ways that were just, you know, pleasing to the eye. So he never was the right fit for me. I always thought that Pep Guardiola was going to be the better fit based on the two clubs, and I think he has been. Yeah, he's hit some bumps in the roads. I think anybody's going to in that league. But he'll respond. So the question to me is Mourinho and younger players and moving them along. I think Guardiola is better when it comes to being with younger players. And in the case of Mourinho, to me, he's more like a hired gun for a couple years, you know. There's no doubt he's a personality. He's a character. He makes it interesting. Is he the right fit for United? No. And I think Guardiola, in the end, is going to have the last laugh.
All right, well, shifting gears from the Champions League to the Dynamo, Wilmer Cabrera announced as the fourth full-time head coach in team history on Friday after a very successful year at Rio Grande Valley in the USL, previously with Chivas USA, an assistant under Oscar Pareja at Colorado. Pareja actually worked with him with U.S. 17s, where Cabrera coached for 5 years. Cabrera, of course, a World Cup veteran with Colombia, huge career as a player. What do you think of this pick after 22 games for Wade Barrett?
Yeah, I think, I think it's very difficult for Wade Barrett, first off. And again, I just want to say that, you know, I've never had a coach so open and honest with all our media dealings. And I think a lot of people would agree with that. So it's a tough one for him. Now, when Wilmer Cabrera's picked, it's interesting because he's got a very extensive youth coaching background. You know, Bradenton, a lot of younger players, under 17 national team. You correctly stated that he's had an outstanding playing career and has had a lot of experiences in World Cups and in the Colombian First Division. Very good friends with Oscar Perea. There may be some similarities there. What I know of him and talking to people is that he's a pretty autocratic coach, which I do know works with younger players. The question is if the Dynamo, you know, some of the more experienced veterans, how does Wilmer work with them? Does he take their input? That kind of thing. I would imagine he would. I think it's important at this phase that you have finally hired a Hispanic coach in Houston. Now, I know a lot of people aren't going to agree with me on that. I actually think that hire of a Latin coach should have come when Owen Coyle was hired. So it's easy to say woulda, coulda, shoulda. But if the card of the foreign manager was going to be played in Houston, without a doubt, based on our city, it needed to be, in my very humble opinion, it needed to be a Latino or Hispanic coach. It's that time to try that in Houston. Things aren't the same as it was 10 years ago. It's a very different league. Our city is changing by the moment. And engaging this segment of the population that are so excited and crazy about soccer has to be a part of the plan in the future. I don't think there's any question. I don't believe in pandering, but I believe in recognizing and trying to accelerate the handing out and the extension of the olive branch, because without that community, the game will never blow up. We can sit here in Houston and say we want to be a Portland or Seattle. Without that base and getting to them and figuring out how to get to them and get them engaged in the product, that will not happen. That's, again, just my humble opinion. I think the game got a little too corporate once we made the trip from Robertson over to BBVA Compass Stadium, and I'm hoping, you know, the pendulum swings back maybe a little bit in the other way, and that could potentially happen with Cabrera. Now, that's off the field. On the field, he's going to have to overhaul the roster, I think. I think it's going to be a very critical piece, Matt Jordan working with him, Matt, when it comes to identifying players, because the Dynamo have to be a team that becomes more dynamic and appeals more and provides more entertainment. And this is not a slight or, you know, sticking it to anybody out there about what's been here. The product has not been entertaining enough. We know that. And I think it's going to be up to Matt Jordan and him to get it figured out, and it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, speaking of pressure, Glenn.
It's a lot of pressure.
Do you think this was a tough choice for Wilmer? I mean, I want to be as delicate here as I can be, but let's be honest. You don't get many chances to be a head coach in MLS. We saw it with John Spencer going to Portland. Didn't work out. He hasn't had a second chance yet. Wilmer took a tough position in Chivas USA. He said after the fact he thought he was blindsided by the fact that 3 months into the job, they announced they're going to have to cease operations. The Dynamo have missed the playoffs 3 straight years. It's been a core of players that have been largely the same. It's not a slam dunk that Wilmer is going to come in, and even if he's the right coach for the job, do well. How do you think you put a lot of thought into, man, is this the right fit for me? Is this where I use that second bullet in the chamber?
Well, I think he sees it as a wonderful opportunity. I think it's pretty hard to judge him based on Chivas USA and, you know, the whole debacle of that franchise and it being contracted and everything. So I agree with you on that. Look, it's not just the coach and players that are going to change everything in Houston. It's on the field. It's off the field. It's upper management. It's creating a club. And a club is bigger than just a good team. And I think now in MLS, your club can't just be defined by the team. That's a large part of it, and winning and the way they play, that's a huge piece of it. But there's so much more that goes on now with youth academies, with the way you present yourself to the community. All of these things are going to factor in. Now, getting back to Wilmer and Matt Jordan, when it comes to the actual on-field product, yeah, I mean, for me, it's 5 or 6 starters have to be changed. The The bench has got to be improved. I think every line of the team is what DeMarcus Beasley said needs improvement. So Matt Jordan now has some resources to work with, and he's got to go find a Mauro Diaz or a Diego Valeri, one of these lower end DPs, if that's what sort of the target is, in order to make this work. He found a gem in Mauro Minotas, but it's one gem. And you got to find a few more in order to turn this thing around. So you have to have the players. I'm interested to see the style of play and the purpose of play that Wilmer Cabrera is going to, make a part of this. Obviously, it's going to be possession based and oriented, but we do need a team that's going to be more dynamic. And look, in the case of Wade Barrett, and I know people are upset, and for me, this guy's a great man of integrity. He could easily have been handed the job. I never knew what the criteria was, so that made it a little bit confusing. But people also have to understand, just because you're named interim coach doesn't mean you're going to get the job. It doesn't entitle anybody to get the job. It's the criteria of the people making the decisions. And that's the owners, the president, and the general manager, the influencers. So that's one thing. The only thing I would say in Wade, and I know you and I have talked about this, and Eddie and I, and we've all talked about it. I think if he didn't know the criteria, he should have went for a bigger bang and tried to win more of these games and take a little bit more risk. But, it's hindsight. It's easy for anybody to say at this point. So it's Cabrera. I think there's real pressure on him to do well. I think there's pressure on the entire organization. And there should be a healthy pressure because, we all want it to be successful in Houston. I don't think that's the one good thing. I think we all want it to be good. But, right now the relevancy factor is dipped down pretty low, Matt, and I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I feel it. I feel it from friends. I feel it from people that, are canceling season tickets. There's got to be some wow factor that gets people back. And that comes through playing style, that comes through signings, that comes through marketing, that comes through community, and all these other things that many other people know more about than I do.
All right, Glenn, plenty more to get to. Stay with us as we go to break. But before the break, please know that the NCAA Men's College Cup is coming to Houston on December 9 and 11 at BBVA Compass Stadium in Houston. See the top NCAA college soccer teams compete for a national championship. It will be NCAA history with the NCAA College Cup here in Houston. Go to NCAA.com to get your tickets and let's show the nation how Houston supports the college game. And again, one more big game coming to Houston. It's Pumas versus Cruz Azul, the Mexico City Clasico at BBVA Compass Stadium, November 13th at 4 p.m. Tickets available at Taqueria Arandas and AXS.com. Stay with us. More with Glenn coming up. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters. Matt Peterson filling in for Glenn Davis. A word here for the Richmond Arms and King's Head Pub, which are two of the best soccer watching spots in Houston. Head over to the Richmond Arms and take in your favorite clubs. Book your event at the Richmond Arms and King's Head Pub in our private rooms. The Richmond Arms, King's Head Pub for your English pub and grub. RichmondArmsOnline.com. Now back to more with Glenn Davis. Glenn, talking with Wilmer, I had a chance to talk to him on Friday, and I also knew him a little bit this year, talking to him for the website. Here's what I think he likes in players. So number one in the back it's defend first. You have to be able to defend. You have to be able to tackle. But if you can do that, he wants a technically sound player that can start the attack. And RGV did that this year in the USL. He also likes kind of a 4-2-3-1 system that he says can turn to a 4-3-3 at times. He likes speed out wide, which would lead to like a Yair Arbeloa type and some other dynamic speed. The one thing that impressed me this year was how they played the same home and road. They'd go to these tough environments on the road, and they'd play the same way. They'd win, they'd lose, they'd draw, but they'd play the same way. How hard will that be in MLS, where the Dynamo, let's face it, will be at a talent deficit in a lot of their games, especially away from home?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's, you know, it's interesting. It's not going to be that quick of a fix, and I'm not sure that's how you can look at going into next year. There may be select games you can be more aggressive on the road based on opponents. But, you know, you don't have a solidified roster like the New York Red Bulls where you can do that and the sort of depth. So, you know, a lot of those questions are going to get answered once you get your talent and some of your new signings and you figure things out. I mean, who doesn't like speed out wide? And I get that. I mean, I think we've been devoid of that in Houston. I don't think we have penetrators. I think it's pretty clear cut that playing with a lone striker and not having penetration out wide, you're really not giving anybody a chance up front. So these are all elements that they have to try to find. And that's why I was always wondering if it was really going to work out with Maidan and all, because you have to have an exceptional wide game in order to get the best out of a lone striker. So, you know, who's going to be the fulcrum of the team? I truly believe this team needs a personality that we say, look, number one, this is the guy we want to play through. In New York, it's Sasha Kljestan. In Montreal, it's Piatti. I don't think we know who it is in Houston.
Glenn, rank these in the order of you think priority, largest priority. I think there's three large priorities. A midfield playmaker, fulcrum type. The center back position. You have five center backs in no two real starters in terms of you go into next year knowing who they'll be. And then the forward position, whether it's going to be Morrow with Will next to him as pushing him, a younger player, a different player. So take those three sort of positional dilemmas, positional needs, and rank them in order of you think priorities for the club.
Well, you just went up the spine of the team. So me personally, when you get a playmaker and somebody you play the ball through, that means you're going to have more ball. You're going to have to defend less. You're going to get more good decisions out of that person, right? Look what Lodeiro did getting plugged into Seattle. I mean, we're talking about fulcrums, guys you can play through that are definitive. So it's up the middle of the team, and then you have to fill in around them, and it's all based on availability. Now, look, you're not going to get every wish that you want. You don't get everything you want for Christmas, do you?
Nope.
Even though we all have a long wish list sometimes. In my case, it's pretty short. But the fact is, every team in MLS has to hide an area or two of deficiency and how good you are at that, or how good you are at drafting someone in the college game that all of a sudden just sort of blossoms and becomes this great surprise that you've uncovered. You know, a Mike Grella in New York is a great example of that. Did anybody ever expect him to turn into the player he is, right?
Nope.
Or an Alex Mule, a college player from, I believe, Georgetown, right, who all of a sudden now, because of his work ethic and his ability to handle the pace of the game in MLS, has become a very important sort of polar opposite to guys like Sasha Kljestan and the guys that get a lot of the headlines. So I don't think there's any real rhyme and reason to it. I think it's an incredibly difficult job to put rosters together, but for the Dynamo, it's got to be up the spine of the team. Okay, so Will Bruin, who... I don't know. Is it time for him to get a fresh start somewhere? I almost think that would be a great thing for him. I'm wondering if the Houston Dynamo are considering potentially moving a 50-plus goal scorer. These are all things we have to consider. And, you know, people don't like people to say these things, but look, if we're going to grow this game, we have to talk about rosters and salaries and who's making what and how it's being put together. That's what fans love, right?
Yep.
I think fans love it, debating and looking at the salary. I mean, look what goes on in the NFL and the NBA when it comes to talk radio every day and people talking about, you know, being salary cap compliant and you know, moving this guy for this value for this guy, and this guy's a better value than this, and wow, this is an incredible player at you know, his value is going to skyrocket after this year. I mean, that's what we have to talk about. I think it's hard for us to understand sometimes in MLS because, you know, we don't get all that information, and there's all these categories for players and these mechanisms to buy down contracts and things that do make it a little bit nebulous for the fan and, quite frankly, for people that cover the league too.
All right, Glenn, so the award finalists were announced today. Now, these are the top three vote-getters in every category. So the votes have been decided. They won't be announced until the week of MLS Cup. I'll give you three to pick from. MVP, the finalists are Sasha Kljestan, David Villa, Bradley Wright-Phillips, Sebastian Giovinco is a notable omission. So let's start there. Who's your pick from the three, and would you have put Giovinco over any of those three?
Well, I'm surprised Giovinco isn't in there because it's his team in Toronto. I don't think there's any question. I would go with Bradley Wright-Phillips with a lot of respect to all the other names that were mentioned, and I'll tell you why. 24 goals, didn't score in the first seven games, doesn't take penalty kicks. To me, the most dangerous striker in MLS, clinical finisher, and a guy that is the perfect foil to Sasha Kljestan. Now, the problem is I think those votes might get split in half between Kljestan and BWP if you're New York fans, right? So who knows how that works out. But yeah, I'd pick Bradley Wright-Phillips.
All right, defender.
And by the way, Matt, nobody scored more goals in the last 3 years than that guy. Yep. He's the only guy in MLS history to score 20-plus in two seasons. So
all right,
there's a lot of factual stuff behind him.
We're winding down. We'll get two more from you. Defender of the year, the finalists, Matt Hedges, Axel Schuberg from Colorado, and Yael Van Dam.
Schuberg? Who's the other one?
Hedges and Yael Van Dam.
I'm going Yael Van Dam.
Dominant presence.
Big personality, big presence. If you saw him this past weekend for the LA Galaxy, the guy was monster. And relating it to the Dynamo situation, I think a domineering center back is a must. I looked at Lawrence Simon and the way he played against New York. I mean, this guy was a tower of strength up there and just covering people, every decision good, his distribution great. I'll go with the LA Galaxy, Yael Van Dam.
Last one, coach of the year, Pablo Mascherini in Colorado, one of the worst teams to one of the best. Oscar Pereja sustained excellence in losing two of his best players while still winning two trophies. And then Patrick Vieira, a poor team last year, to a number two seed this year. What's your pick among those three?
Well, they're good choices. They're all great stories in their own right. I'm going to go with Oscar Pereja because they have the lowest budget in Major League Soccer. A lot of trust in youth. They're probably not going to do the treble now, but they had positioned themselves to do it. He's navigated, unfortunately, up until the playoffs this past weekend, the loss of two monster pieces in MLS, which in MLS you lose a key player based on salary cap and roster depth. It's usually the kiss of death. So they found some way to continue to win the Supporters Shield. They won an Open Cup, so I go Oscar Pereja.
All right, Glenn, well, we're up against it time-wise, but thanks for your time in these two segments, and enjoy the rest of the SEC Women's Tournament, and I know you have a big show Friday. Get back here on Soccer Matters.
Yeah, we'll be back on Friday, so don't forget it. A couple of things here real quick. Don't forget the gorgeous gale over on 5555 Morningside, great Irish pub over there. Great opportunity for you to get over there and watch your favorite teams. It's the Liverpool Supporters Group. It's the gorgeous gale. 5555 Morningside. King's Court is right by the stadium downtown. Good friend Jay runs it. Incredible Indian food and pub food. It's right by the stadium. I think it's one of the best-kept secrets. You've been there, I know, Matt.
Yep.
It is a really cool spot. We're going to do some NCAA College Cup stuff down there as well and a live broadcast in the future. But the King's Court, great food, great beverages, great DJs down there. There's a DJ called Yandan and Mr. 26 who are down there. These guys are good, but King's Court is a great spot as well. And again, NCAA.com, that's where you get your tickets for the December 9th through 11th Men's College Cup. And we got Unam Pumas also coming here to take on Cruz Azul of Mexico here in November. So for those who like Liga MX, Chris Azul and Pumas making a trip here to Houston, Texas.
Thanks again, Glenn. Plenty more to come here on Soccer Matters. Still to come, we'll talk with Wilmer Cabrera. It's an interview I did for the Dynamo website. Good length, gets inside his background in soccer. And then Glenn spoke with Kalia Ojai, who tied for the league lead in scoring in the NWSL and then scored in her international debut for the U.S. Plenty more coming up. This is Soccer Matters.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Matt Peterson in for Glenn Davis. Did you know the NCAA Men's College Cup is coming to Houston December 9th and 11th at BBVA Compass Stadium? See the top NCAA college soccer teams compete for a national championship right here in Houston. It will be NCAA history with the NCAA College Cup. Go to nc2a.com to get your tickets and let's show the nation how Houston supports the college game. I spoke with Wilmer Cabrera last week for HoustonDynamo.com and had a good interview with the new Houston Dynamo head coach, talked about how he came to the U.S. and more. Here is me with the new Houston Dynamo head coach, Wilmer Cabrera. Wilmer, welcome to the club. And just give us your initial thoughts on taking on this challenge and this new opportunity for you in your long soccer career.
Matt, thank you very much. I'm really excited. I'm happy. I'm thrilled. I'm ready to take this challenge and responsibility to be part of the Houston Dynamo, a club with history, with a winning path, and with a good mentality and very good. Especially with the fans. It's important to be here. It's really important to be here and to bring my experience to try to cooperate with my side, which is soccer side, coaching, to bring the team where the team deserves and where everyone wants to see the team again.
All right, let's start back at the beginning of your journey in the United States. After a long career with some of the biggest clubs in Colombia and with the Colombia national team, you ended your playing career with the Long Island Rough Riders on Long Island in New York, and that sort of transitioned into coaching roles, first with Suffolk County Community College and then with BW Gotchi, a youth club. So maybe take us through that move and your ambition coming to the United States.
Yes, my ambitions coming into the United States weren't to be a coach. It was because I wanted to fly. I'm a helicopter pilot. And I was flying in Colombia when I retired as a helicopter pilot. I was flying. I was working there. And so I noticed in New York, you know, it's a lot of possibilities, flying helicopters. So I decided to move there to try to start my process to getting my license and all the documentation necessary to become a helicopter. But I have never flown helicopters here in the United States, but I've been coaching the whole time. So that's how life goes, and I'm really happy because soccer is my life and my passion, and the coaching career that I have developed here in the United States has been very successful, but also very rewarding.
All right, so you came up in the Colombian system with Independiente Santa Fe and then play with several clubs and obviously with their national team. Talk about the influence that the Colombian national team had on you and how you see the game.
Definitely a big influence because we have the possibility to learn a system and a style of play that got us through three World Cups in a row. And that obviously, it's something big for any country. For us, it was really big because we were doing every day the same work, the same tactical movements. So we knew each other very well, and we knew how to work together. And that work that we used to do every day in practices got us to be united, be very comfortable with each other, and playing against anyone at the same level. So three World Cups, three possibilities to go to three World Cups in a row, obviously proved that the system was good, the players, we were good, and the coaches were on the same page, so it worked.
You've described a big difference between the Colombian pathway and the pathway here in the United States, whereas in Colombia, it's sort of a way of life, it's a way out, it's an opportunity for you to support your whole family, whereas in the United States, there's other options. You experienced that in Bradenton with the U.S. residency under 17s for 5 years, where you had young kids, teenagers moving away from their families to Florida. After experiencing that, what is your impression on the North American player and maybe differences in developing them compared to a South American?
Yeah, it was a big difference, definitely. In South America, we play soccer because it's our passion, but also the only option and the best option. But you have a lot of competition, and it's possibilities surviving situation. Here in the United States, it's different. It was for fun. The kids, they love the game because they have fun playing soccer. And in order for them to feel the passion and to feel that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, they need to understand the game better and to live and to have experience in a way that they know that they can do it. It was very, very nice for me and very good learning experience throughout the years with the youth development and then going to the under 17 national team, coaching these young, talented players to understand how the culture changes, how the concept change, but the game itself never change. So you have to adapt. Not you have to bring your culture, you have to adapt to understand the culture within inside.
Who are some of your biggest influences in soccer, either as a coach or teammate, someone that's influenced how you see the game?
Well, no doubt about it that during the 9-10 years with the national team, you know, the coaches there, they were very big influence for us to learn. I would say most of the players that we went through the national team, now we're coaches, and we use that type of education as a players, and also the tactical aspect, because you have to have some tools. When you play at the same level with other teams, sometimes differences are just small details, and small details are important to have. You have to give those details and those tools to the players for them to apply it on the game, because this is a player's game. This is not a coach's game.
All right, so style of play, purpose of play, it's very popular. Fans want to know, media is interested. Now, of course, this is oftentimes dictated by your roster, your opponent, what league you're in, the venue, all that. But generally, Wilmer Cabrera, what is your style of play? What sort of principles do you believe in on the field?
Well, obviously, I feel like when you have the possibility to possess the ball more than your opponent, it is going to be easier for you to get into attacking positions. But it's not only have possession without purpose. Possession is because we have the ball, but we need to look for the goal. When you have possession with purpose to look for the goal, then you can enjoy the game, you can move better, and the whole team is active. But it's not just attacking, because then you unbalance your team. Soccer is like lifestyle. You have to have balance in your lifestyle. You cannot just go party the whole time or just work the whole time. You have to have both. In my case, I always look for have a very good balance. If you have a good defense, if the whole team understand the concept of try to keep our goal in zero, it's going to be easier for you to attack with good mentality, and at some point you can score. So, yes, let's try to keep the ball, but let's be sure that we keep balance in our team when we attack and when we defend.
We talked throughout this year as you led Rio Grande Valley FC, the Dynamo's hybrid affiliate in USL, in their first season. One of the points of pride, I think, for you and your players was that you guys played the same home and away, and you guys would keep the ball away, and you tried to score, and you tried to attack. Is that something that you think is possible in MLS with maybe a higher standard of play? And do you think the home principles are especially important with the climate here in Houston?
Yes, definitely. That's the way I feel. That's the way I coach. And that's the way I'm going to try to implement the mentality with the players. But for that, they have to believe in that. And that's how we like to play. You know, it's not just, you need to be strong at home. When you're strong at home, then you can go anywhere and you feel strong. But when you're not strong at home, you cannot just go away and say, we're going to do well, because you don't have that confidence. So we need to be sure that we have a strong team at home with balance, but with a good mentality. And then away, you're going to be able to perform the same way. And away, they're going to be a little bit more possibilities. Why? Because when you play away, the other teams are more open. And then you have more possibilities. But again, principle, balance. You have to have balance. You cannot be just one side or just attacking or just defending. Soccer is 50-50.
Youth is a major point of emphasis across Major League Soccer here in 2016. You experienced it yourself with the USL initiative with RGV, and that league is exploding. Talk about what you think is important for developing youth. So many of the young players around the league went through residency with you and played at U17 World Cups. What do you think is important for young players developing in MLS?
We have a league that is young, 20 years. And we need to be sure that within the country, we have a lot of players. They love soccer. But we need to prepare our young players to play here in MLS. We don't need to prepare our young players to play in Europe right away. This is the league they have to play. And this is the league and this is the environment they have to play. So they need to be able to go through the steps with good mentality, with good passion, and understanding that they have to have the talent. If they have the talent, they can play in MLS, and they can dream one day to be in this locker room wearing the jersey for the Houston Dynamo and playing in front of his friends, his family members, and his city. That is really important for us, and that is something that we need to continue working on.
All right, player selection is obviously important. You'll have a hand in that. Matt Jordan will obviously have a hand in that as the general manager. You have good contacts in South America, as does he. You obviously tipped the Dynamo off to Yair Arbelea, who came from your old club, Independiente. How do you see player identification?
Wonderful, because one of the key for the success of the RGV FC Toros was that we work together. We watch and we see the game in the same way. So when I was requiring some type of players, it was easy, and we obviously always agreed with the type of players that we were looking for. And that made our job, my job as a coach, easier, because when the general manager sees the game similar to you and sees the type of player that you're looking for the same way, it's easy, because he goes and looks at the players, and the players, you're going to be able to say, yes, this is the player that I want, and it's going to be a better transition for the player, for the coaches, and at the end, for the club itself.
All right, after your appointment as RGVFC head coach, you spent a good portion of the Dynamo preseason with the Dynamo as part of the coaching staff. What do you think about this roster and this team after working with them this preseason? Obviously, some players have moved on. The roster will turn over, but what do you think of this group of players?
Well, definitely it's a group of players. Some are experienced players. Some players are young players. But for me, the results weren't great at the end, and we cannot hide that. And when the results aren't good, we have to find ourselves, okay, this didn't work, and we have to move on, and we have to change the dynamic. And in this case, in Houston Dynamo, we have to change not only the dynamic, but also some players try to find a better players to fit in what we want to do and what we need to do with the Houston Dynamo to put a Houston Dynamo at the place what it deserves.
All right, Oscar Pareja is an old friend of yours. You were on his staff with Colorado. He is with FC Dallas, having some success there. You were former teammates with the national team. Maybe describe any similarities you have in terms of coaching with him, and have you already had some exchanges after your appointment as Dynamo head coach talking about next year and a new rivalry here in Texas?
Yes, we know each other since we were 16 years old. We were roommates and friends, and we always had contact. We have a very good friendship, even though we never play in the same team. We always play in the club team at club level. We play against each other, and we kick each other, and we fought each other against each other because it's our passion, it's our nature. We have the opportunity to work together here. I brought him as an assistant coach for the under-17 national team, and then he brought me as his assistant coach for the Colorado Rapids. So we've been working together. We grew up in the same environment with the same tactical education and ideas, so we know each other. But obviously we are different in terms of personality. He's been very successful, which is very important because that proves that our education was good. And where we are coming from, it's been positive and successful. Now it's situation, it's just a matter of the personality and how you approach the game as a coach. But he's doing very well. He's been very successful, and I'm really happy for him. But now we're coming. We're coming. The Orange, the Dynamo, it's coming, and we're going to prepare very well, not only for the rival games against FC Dallas, but for the whole season and for the whole Western Conference, because it is important to bring Dynamo at the place that it deserves.
All right, Wimmer, this is day one. There's a long way to go until early March and the last part of January with preseason, so a lot to be done, decisions to be made. But what do you think is reasonable expectations for the fans, for the Dynamo in 2017, and what they should expect to watch from their Dynamo?
Yes. What I would like always to do is I want the fans to come to the stadium or to put themselves in front of the TV, and they need to know, okay, we're going to see Houston Dynamo playing this way. When you know what to expect from your team, that is positive. But that's something that we need to bring to the table. Are we going to win? Yes. Are we going to tie? Yes. Are we going to lose? Yes, because it's the game. The game itself, you win, you tie, you lose. But when you know what to expect from your team, home and away, you feel comfortable, and they can feel comfortable coming to the stadium because they know that the team is going to play this way. We're going to try the best way, and hopefully most of the time we're going to be successful, because when you do the right things, most of the time you're going to be successful. But when they know what to expect, it's something that we need to bring to the locker room, to the city, to the stadium, to the city, and to the fans here in Houston.
Wilmer, thank you, and welcome to the club.
Thank you very much, man.
All right, and that wraps things up. Thanks to Glenn Davis for hosting duties, Tyler Scott, our wonderful producer, and thanks to you for tuning in. Don't forget a special edition Soccer Matters coming up Friday night, 7 to 9, right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll talk a lot about the upcoming MLS Cup playoffs, Champions League, Europa League, and more. For one final time, thank you to Tyler Scott, our producer. This is Matt Peterson signing off. Glenn Davis is back Friday night with Soccer Matters.
ESPN 97.5.